Deadwood Soundwave.
Welcome to A Cosmic Void. I'm Biggs.
I'm Xavion.
So today we're covering Under the Skin from 2013. I grabbed this movie for two reasons. And the first reason is that we talked about Spirited Away last week and there was like a lot of weird symbolism in it that we were kind of breaking down. So I was like, let's do the live action application of this.
Right.
The other reason is last week I went to go see The Zone of Interest, which Jonathan Glazer directed. It's up for Best Picture, Adapted Screenplay, Best Director. Dude makes a film about every 10 years and he spends like 10 years working on every film. So it's like, it's all well thought out. It's not your typical movie narratives or anything. And it's a weird movie to be up for an Oscar, but it's really good. What that movie does is it's talking about the Holocaust, but it shows this like family drama of this Nazi family, like the guy who is in charge of Auschwitz. Mm-hmm. Who is sending people in on the trains, and he helped develop the ovens that killed people and stuff.
Damn.
And they share a garden wall with Auschwitz. And so they're going through this family drama, but very low in the backdrop, you can hear the sounds of guns going off, dogs attacking people, and you can see the smoke from the ovens coming and stuff. And it's the best example of the banality of evil I've ever seen in a movie.
Interesting.
It's like really, really affecting. And so I just wanted to like mention that movie because I think people should go see it in the theater if they get a chance. And so I figured this was a good way to Trojan horse in a discussion on that movie real quick.
But not a problem.
We did that. We're on like a timeline here. We don't have
Our meeting. We love you, Micah.
Yeah, we have a work meeting, so this will probably be a shorter episode than it normally is.
Like I said, there wasn't much to talk about in this movie. No, I'm sorry.
on the surface, there's not.
No, there's not, but there's some underlining things there.
There's a lot of things. Yeah, I think there's something about feminism. There's stuff about immigration in this that I want to talk about, and there's a lot of stuff about humanity. Let's talk about the sexuality for just a second. Scarlett Johansson is at this point. It's 2013. So this is a year after Avengers. I think it's safe to say if Scarlett Johansson is not the biggest sex symbol in America at the time, she's up there.
Right.
Like, she's definitely up there. And so I found it very interesting how she handles it, because different stars have different ways that they handle it. Sometimes they ignore it. Sometimes they lean into it.
Mm-hmm.
But what Scarlett Johansson did was, as she became this figure, she does this movie where she does her first nude scenes, but they're not sexy. Like, you made a point to like bring that up.
Yeah, because
I agree.
It wasn't sexy. It was just, it's awkward. Mostly because we already
know. It's unsettling, right? Especially when you set it to that music. Like, this music is just. Oh my gosh,
I don't like music like that but I don't, because it's so good for scary movies. Think of the movie Sinister. Dude, Sinister had a crazy, crazy ass like track to it where it was like whoa, and I'm like, I don't like that, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of a 90s industrial sound. Mm-hmm. But there's no lyrics at all to it. It's violas with percussion.
Yeah, like there's not really.
And there's like kind of synth, like they take the violas and they synthesize them at parts and they have a lot of dissonant noises, but it makes you really uncomfortable while you're watching it. And they do that. But it's really, really uncomfortable, right? And everything's set to this music.
Well, and because, like, and what makes it even more uncomfortable is I've noticed that in a lot of movies when there's not music and certain things, I just watched, just a side note, The Marvels. I actually enjoyed that movie.
I did too.
Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I think people were unnecessarily harsh on it.
I think they were.
I think there was a lot lost in editing for sure, but I also think it moves pretty nice.
It was a fun, goofy action movie, and I really enjoyed it. And so I watched it, but there's the scene. If you guys haven't seen it, I'm going to ruin it. So skip over this part, but it'll be brief. But there's a part where they're fighting towards the end, and there's no music. They're just fighting, and you hear the noises. And I like that movies are starting to do that. And this movie kind of, so even in the background, you kind of, this is 2013 versus 2024, but still in that movie, even with that little bit of sound, and there's not really a hit, that musical hit, but the noises more so, it does make that movie a lot better. It does make it fascinating to watch.
Yeah. Like I was saying with The Zone of Interest, like Jonathan Glazer is really, really centered on sound in his movies and does interesting things with them. And I think he really propels the narrative further with the sound. Now, that being said, going back to the Scarlett Johansson sex symbol thing. So she puts out this movie where, once again, she's doing a nude scene. It's not sexy. It's all of this stuff about, like, she is endangering people who think that they're going to be fine. And then when she finds a person who is not trying to exploit her, it kind of throws her off, right?
Yeah.
Like, and makes her really, really curious about her humanity that she's now inherited, because she's clearly in this body.
She's
right?
Emotionless through, I mean,
yeah,
you
yeah.
start to see it, but like she's emotionless throughout the movie. And then, but the beginning.
Until the last act, right?
Right. And then it kind of just goes from there, but you kind of learn, you understand, because I remember you telling me when we were talking at work the other day, and you said
turn the subtitles on.
Yeah, you did say turn the subtitles. Everybody watch subtitles.
It's in Glasgow. Mm-hmm. If you're not from Scotland, there are accents you will not be able to understand. They're speaking English.
They're speaking English, but it doesn't sound like it. And I'm like, what did he say? But I watch everything in subtitles, and so like that was the best part about it, is like you watch it and you're like, okay, what's exactly the point? You know, it sounds like a computer. You know,
she's observing these things, these humans, and it's just very hands off.
Yeah.
And she's just got a job to do, it seems like. And she's
no feelings, no emotion, no any sense of anything. Physically wise, I don't even think there's a feeling there. I don't think she feels at all.
No, I don't either. And I think she starts to feel when it throws her off, when she really takes in humanity, right? Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that she's like playing this femme fatale, I guess, like this person who's like trapping men and like making them unsafe, and talking about how sexuality could be dangerous in these different ways. And then at the end, so trigger warning for this whole episode, if you are triggered by sexual assault, there's a really big sexual assault at the end of this movie. And I mean, obviously she's killing people that are looking for sex in this movie, so there's all of that. But it's talking about all these negative things around sexuality, right? And then she follows up this movie with Her, which is this movie where Joaquin Phoenix is playing a guy in the slight future who falls in love with an AI, essentially. Like, it's a phone. And so she's just a voice on it. And she's incredibly sexy in that movie, but she's just doing it with her voice. Mm-hmm. And so I found it very interesting that she took her status as a sex symbol and really like pushed at the edges with it for this year in movies, and really looked at like, what's some things we don't think about? Right. Let's think about this in a different way than we normally do. Like how you can just use your voice to be sexy, or how sex can be dangerous. You know, these are all things that have to be like flirting with her mind because of where she's at and how she's ogled and everything. I mean, there's like packed photos of her out on the internet and all these things. And so all of this stuff is flying around in the air. And I found it really cool that she responds by doing this set of movies. Like, it's kind of cool.
Because really, if you think about it, it's either, if I can't beat them, join them, in a way, you know, kind of, she said, well, you know what, screw it. Like,
but instead of leaning into it, which she does in a lot of movies, so I don't mean to take that away, but these movies are not leaning into it. It's like exploring it in a different
That's where I was saying, like, it does good, like, you know, well, now they have all these things. Are we talking about real life? Like, there was that's what I thought.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the whole thing is like, it's, if it's coming out like that, and she clearly, if it's getting leaked, I've seen many shows where somebody or movies, stuff like that, where something happened or something got leaked in real life, actually, where they just embraced it, you know? And like you said, she embraced it in a way that in this movie, now you could look at her and go, well, I mean, she did it. And honestly, it wasn't really that hot, you know? And so
it's not trying to be hot. Exactly. Either, which is really interesting.
Yeah. And like, that's what's funny is people go out and go, oh, this is the thing. She's going to be hot. And like you were saying, let's go watch this movie. Yeah,
should I tell that story real quick? So my buddy Zach Lakenbrook, who I used to do podcasts with and went off to have a career in movies. And I did a podcast with him in 2014 when this movie hit the Myrna Loy, which he helped bring it to the Myrna Loy. So he knew what it was.
Yeah.
Like, he knew it was this strange art film. And he said their screening sold out and it was all like dude bros from like Carol who were like coming in liquored up and were just there to see Scarlett Johansson naked.
Oh,
man. Their mouths were just agape and they were like, what am I into? And he found an excuse to walk in and look at him because he just like thought it was too funny to not see. You know?
Like, it's hilarious because I think it's funny when people are like, oh my gosh, like, we're gonna go watch this movie. Okay, let's be honest. Magic Mike, listen, as a gay guy, entertaining. Was it good? Did I really find it that entertaining? Absolutely not. I found, like, as sexy as it was supposed to be, it wasn't that hot, you know? Like, everybody's like, Magic Mike was so great. And like, that's where I get out of it with like the Scarlett Johansson in this movie is they're like, oh yeah, I heard she does a nude scene, y'all, titties and vajayjay everywhere. And it's like, yeah. And then they get in there and all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is, oh,
I'm going to rethink sexuality now.
Not what I was thinking at all. So it is funny. And that's what I mean is like when all this stuff was going out for her and then she decided, like you said, doing this movie, it's funny that she was like, I'm going to brace it. Like, let's do it. And then it made it so awkward in that movie that you almost, it takes away. You know what I mean? Okay, we've seen it. All right, we've been there.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's not titillating because you have to have it in a certain gaze to be titillating, and that gaze is just not present. You can recut it and make it that way, but with that music and the way in which they're showing it,
like
she's literally trapping people in this symbolic thing where they're being carved up for meat. You know what I mean?
Basically, like, dude, that part where the dude like pops... it scared me.
A weird horror movie for
it's
sure.
So weird, and I'm like, what room is she? So all right, I'll be honest, I'm like my own commentator. Like, I will make myself laugh during stuff like this, like if I'm by myself. That's why sometimes I've told Biggs before, I'm like, I need, you know, somebody there because I could just commentate with them, so I know. And like, there's just the scene where I'm like, oh my gosh, he like popped. I'm like, so what, she's just bringing people into this, you know, what is she doing in these old homes? Is she rejuvenating these houses with the human? I went to this whole thing, like, are these houses like aliens and she's bringing them in here and letting them do whatever? But then there's like the scene where the guy grabs the other guy. It's so weird. And I'm like, well, wait, I guess it's supposed to be just her. But I really thought, like, are these houses like alive? Are these supposed to be there?
Yeah, and it's all surreal. So much like Spirited Away, that movie is entirely surreal. It's just a different kind of surreal, right?
It, like, really is.
If you saw this in an anime, you probably wouldn't even think twice, right?
Ooh, that's a good question. Honestly, I don't think so.
I would think if I saw this in an anime, I would be in a different headspace where I'd be like, okay, this is happening.
You know? Yeah, because anime is like that, I guess, versus what a realistic movie is like, you know? And
but
like,
this isn't realistic either. It's like it's an art house movie. It's all surreal. It's all like painterly.
Oh my gosh. Yep. I just realized that because there is a scene. Holy crap, Alex, you just opened my eyes to some things.
Yeah, it's
all right, podcast is done, everybody. No.
So when we started talking before we were on mic, you were saying, like, I don't really know what happened. Like, this kind of, but I would say, I think if you go into a movie like this in the same way that you go into like a Miyazaki movie, mm-hmm. I think you would actually get a lot out of it because I do think you know the language of this. I just don't think you understood. And I probably should have prepared you for that a little bit more.
No, I actually do. And I told you, I've watched this movie movie a couple of times. I actually put it on as like a, excuse me, I tell people, my mom and I, we laugh because we do what we call, or my mom, Brandy, and I always laugh, but we do what we call background movies. And yeah, you know, yeah, when you're cleaning.
Oh, totally, dude.
All the time, you know, and this was one of those movies I'd put on in the background and just kind of catch a glimpse of. But also, you are right. Like, I do understand. Maybe I'm more like, come on. I'm like, okay, I'll see what you're doing here. I understand. But also, yeah, I mean, you know what helped is, that's what I was going to say, is when we were at work, one of the things that you said was, don't you, you know, you start to get mad at her and then don't you, you feel bad for her at the end. And I was like, I had to remember. And I do remember that scene after a while. And I was like, oh yeah. I was like, okay, here's the hard thing though, is like, this movie speaks a lot of volumes about rape. Like you said, sexual assault. Oh my God, I feel terrible saying this, but like, we're going to say it. It was hard because we knew what she was doing. And it didn't, and in no way, shape, or form, if anybody heard my stories and stuff, they would know. But like, in no way, shape, or form do I feel like she deserved it, but it was almost kind of.
But maybe she did deserve it.
But
right?
That's like, it's right. It's hard to say. Yeah. And I'm glad you said it, because I wanted to say, it's like, it's hard to not feel bad.
Yeah. That's the magic trick that this movie pulls too, because that is humanity. It's messy and you can't just wrap it up that's neatly, true. Right? One other thing I want to note before we start this. Okay. So it's speculated that this is based off of a Scottish myth. So the Babhan Sith, and I don't know if I'm saying that right, but they're fairies in the Highlands that act as succubuses, essentially. There's a variety of stories around them. There's these four men, and three of them wish that they had women to keep them company, and the fourth one has his dog, and so he finds that that's enough, and then these three women show up, and they wind up, like, cutting their throats and killing them, but then, like, the dog like chases them off, and so the man's protected. And then there is another story where it's like four men that wish for women and they show up, but one guy goes off and runs to some horses as they kill the other three, and they wind up fleeing because there's iron on the horses, you know, horseshoes. Oh,
interesting.
And so that's like their weakness, but it kind of comes down to like this fear of women, I think, in a way, like, women will ruin your life kind of thing. And it's like, it's a terrible misogynistic thing.
Yeah, but I honestly, I kind of got that, you know?
Yeah, and I think this movie flips it on its head towards the end, right? So
yeah, which is,
and if you look at it,
powerful.
And we'll talk about it as we go, but like, I think that there's men that are controlling her, right? Like, we see all the motorcycle guys.
Yeah.
So when you get back at it, I think that there's like a patriarchy involved in this movie too.
Makes sense.
See, this is a weird art house movie, so we're going to break it down.
All right, let's do this.
Basically, it starts out showing an eyeball being formed, and you don't know that at first, but that's essentially what it is. We hear her doing language, like she's learning it. She's going, bah, bah, like starting to say words, and she's saying all these sounds. It, by the way, that's where it also helps with subtitle, because even though you can understand what Scarlett Johansson says, it's like, that, like that sound is like overtaking it.
Bird. Bird. And I'm like, bird? What are we talking about?
And so this motorcyclist essentially snatches a woman off of the road who's unconscious and puts her in the back of the van. And this is where we start to get really surreal, outside of the eye, I guess. I guess that's where we really start to get surreal. But he takes her in the back of the van, and you basically see Scarlett Johansson undressing Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
And she's taking her clothes and putting them on. And so I think that's like a metaphor for like, I'm going to pretend to be this person. Like, I'm going to have the trappings of this person without actually understanding anything about this person, right?
Right.
And so she's going out and she's trying to ask for directions for people. She's driving around the van and she winds up taking this one guy because a bunch of people are just like not getting in the van. And it should be added, this is all done with hidden cameras. There is one actor in this movie who is actually an actor and everybody else was not an actor. So Scarlett Johansson is the actress and then everybody else is picked up off of the street. And so they would like, they literally had her driving around in a van with these hidden cameras in, like, they found the smallest cameras that they could and hid them within the van. And then she would like have these conversations with men she would see on the side of the road. So like, that's actually happening, which is like harrowing for like, you're one of the biggest sex symbols in the world and you're driving around like picking up these people.
Yeah.
Like, and I'd imagine maybe that's why they chose a van too, because they probably had somebody to help.
And the location. I mean, I get that the movie was supposed to be set in a certain place, but also I'm wondering if they have different rules and regulations that that's okay. And we're thinking 2013. So back then,
it's also in Scotland too.
I feel like it might be a little different. Also, again, back then I felt like, I've never lived in Scotland, so I don't really know. They might still be like this, but like,
I've got Scottish heritage. I have no idea.
Do you get random people walking up to your car and going, hey, you know, I live just down here and here's what we got.
I do have people talking to me about how like, oh yeah, I've seen a guy with bagpipes, and I'm like, I don't care. Dude. I don't give a shit. Why are you coming to me with guys with bagpipes?
Ooh, I'm interested.
No, that never happens.
No, but like, that's the thing is like, it's so funny with different places, but like people like hearing that now, it did seem like guys just randomly or, you know, she's rolling her window down. Yeah, which
is why they're so taken aback when this like knockout woman is just like suddenly talking to him and asking if they want to ride to the place and stuff. And then so what would happen was if they got in, then like Brian Glazer, the director, and some of the crew would come out and talk to them and say, hey, we're shooting this movie. If you want to be in it. I'm assuming they're telling them, like, you're going to have to, like, walk in this, like, dark area into a pool naked. And by the way, you're going to be erect while you do it.
Dude, yeah. Holy dude, I the first dude, I don't mind looking. But anyways, So as I'm seeing it, he's, like, taking his coat off, and I'm like, he's and like, straight up on it.
You just don't see that in movies.
Nope. And then this was through the jeans. And then like he takes the jeans off. I'm so terrible. I was looking at my screen like, show it. But then he takes the jeans off and I was like, what? And pretty much every dude in that was erect. That went through the black liquid.
That's part of the point, right? Like, I think it's representing sex. But then, so it's surreal. So it's like, we don't know what's happening, but I think they're going to whatever dimension she's from or planet or whatever, because they like sink into the thing.
Yeah.
And then later on, you see them being processed into meat, essentially. And we'll talk about that in depth when we get there. Yeah. So it's like, you have to go through this whole process. So it's crazy that these people were like people that they picked up and then they were just like, okay, so
take off your clothes.
Yeah. If you want to do this, this is what you have to do if you want to continue being in this movie. So that's why there's a lot of people that are not getting in the van, right? Like, because anybody who got in the van was approached. So there's probably lots and lots of people that got in a van that then didn't sign the waivers and, you know, decide to do it. So I find that interesting too, because he wanted it to be as realistic as possible.
And he did that. I'll be honest.
Yeah. So like, once again, a weird movie, but kind of interesting in the way in which they do that. Then she picks up a second guy, right? And same thing, like, takes him back to this old house, see him walking into the darkness, and he starts sinking in. And then he sees the other guy. And that's when it starts to, like, really become a horror movie, dude, I think. Dude,
yeah.
Because he starts to, like, his skin just seems like
he seems like a shell, like.
Yeah, something underneath that's not quite right. And he goes to like, grab the other guy, because the other guy just doesn't know what to think.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, all the meat is gone from him. It's just, like, skin twisting around. Just skin. Around
that was it. No bone.
Like, the most dissonant music.
Yeah. And then they go to the
scene. And you hear this pop, right? It's like.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden
he's gone.
Yeah, he's just like he's just this twisty skin.
Oh, and that part was so awkward because it's just floating there. And I'm weird, like, when things last so long, but I see why they do it. It is to create that awkwardness. It is, and also to make your mind go, what the hell just happened? Like, what is going on? You know, essentially in this movie. Why are these dudes popping like balloons and getting their innards sucked out?
Yeah, and you basically see this like conveyor belt with like all this like blood and meat. But
where?
That's going down.
So that's where I start to wonder. Like, my symbolism thing would be, this was 2013. When we think feminist, are we thinking like when? Because how do I say this? This was when I feel like 2013 and stuff is when women really were like, hey, we're ready to work, ready to do some things. And I don't know.
That was happening way before that. You're 22 years old at this point.
And
right?
Honestly, I,
you can speak to this.
Let me take that back. 'Cause I was thinking of 2003.
Okay. Yeah.
I've been thinking 2003 this whole time, not thinking
2003. Yeah. I mean, there's been feminists for a long, long time, well before I was
alive. All right, people. You know? My direction is going differently now.
If I'm to break down the symbolism of, like, the meat, for example, I think that is men will sometimes treat women as a piece of meat, right? Like, like we literally have that saying. And then I think she's doing it to them, even though they don't realize it. So they're literally being turned to meat.
I see. And I got out of it like, not that the bread went well. I took it like when women would stay at home and do the cooking and cleaning, the men went to work. I just felt like that conveyor belt was like, men go to work. She's doing what she's supposed to do. She took care of her man. Kind of. And then like conveyor belt was like that process of she's taking these men, taking their money. That's what I kind of thought with it. Like taking the money, he's supposed to be taking care of you. He's supposed to be. And that's what she's doing essentially is taking these men in and processing their. I don't.
No, that's fine.
You know what I mean? Like I can't really. I had it. And then I was like, maybe it's not. Because again, I'm thinking 2003 now and it's really not 2003.
I think it's kind of the opposite of what you're saying, but I agree. Okay. So then the movie moves on and she goes to a beach and then she sees a guy and she's trying to kind of lure that guy out.
Yeah. Because she's standing by his towel.
Yeah. And they have a conversation. And then there's this couple that goes after their dog. And then they get caught in this wave. And so he leaps out to try and save them.
Yeah.
And they both drown. And then he washes up on the shore and she comes up with a rock and knocks him out. And then she's like dragging him across the beach, probably to do this whole thing over again. Right.
Yeah.
And we see a motorcyclist come up. We saw him at the beginning with the woman. He is cleaning up the things, right? Like he comes up on the beach, he's like getting rid of the tent and stuff. They both leave this baby. There's just like this crying baby on the shore.
That
they
was
just
hard. Leave it.
They just don't care.
Like nobody did.
No humanity but whatsoever.
The parents would have cared too. My biggest thing is
well, the parents went out to get the dog.
I got to get exactly. And now like that whole scene, I even said it right there, and then I was like, this scene is messed up. Mostly because it's all good. The dog is swimming. Next thing you know, the wife goes after the dog. The husband goes after the wife. I'm thinking, like, why the hell did you just leave your baby there, for one? And for two, when the dude pulls the guy out of the water, because he saves the husband at first, we see the wife go under. She's gone. Then he pulls the husband out. The husband goes back into the water to go save it. At that point, I'm like, I don't know what to do, but like, you know, I got to get my kid and fuck this dog. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I get it.
The dog killed the family. All right.
Well, they let the dog out. So whose fault
you know
is
what?
It?
You know? They're all at fault except that baby, that poor baby.
Yeah.
That was rough.
Yeah. I think she's starting to feel humanity a little bit because after she sinks a guy into the abyss, you see her starting to like process things and give like puzzled looks. And then that motorcyclist is coming up and he's like staring at her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he just keeps staring at her with like this.
He's trying to figure out like
menacing stare.
Yeah.
And she's almost about to go wordless, but she's definitely wordless at that point, right? Like she talks a lot trying to get people lured in, but at a certain point she almost becomes mute.
Yeah.
Like when she discovers her humanity. So then she goes in and gets this guy off the side of the road who is disfigured. So I want to mention this guy was like placed by them. He wasn't an actor per se, but Jonathan Glazer did not want somebody who was wearing prosthetics. He wanted to get somebody who was actually disfigured.
Really looked like that.
Yeah. Ooh, so dang. He had neurofibromatosis. He reached out to this group called Changing Faces and they found a man who was willing to do the part. Cause once again, you're like walking naked into this thing on film. So you had to find somebody who's willing to do that. And he very reluctantly gets in the car and then he's talking to her in the car. And she's like, well, don't you like people? And he's like saying that, like, that they're ignorant, right?
Right.
And so, like, and it doesn't explain it. You just understand, like, oh, yeah, people must be gawking at him, screaming at him.
Yeah, as soon as she said, why do you shop at night? And I was like, girl, we all know why.
But she doesn't. She literally doesn't
but
know.
We all are sitting there like,
and that's what makes it interesting because she doesn't process humanity. So she's looking at this and she, to her, it's just another guy, right? Like,
yeah,
it's like looking at a deer in a forest and just like not noticing that the speckles on it are like in a different spot or something.
I see what you mean. Well, and then it's like, it was really nice because I think there was something there where it was like, I feel like we should be treating everybody like that, regardless of what they look like or how they look like. And I think that's what that part was giving, was that there is, that she does not see.
She doesn't see the difference.
She doesn't see the difference. Yeah. And that's
she truly does not. That's right. What makes it interesting.
Yeah.
So she's telling him he has beautiful hands and like he's kind of caressing her and stuff. Finds out that he's never been with a woman, which she's trying to process that because all the guys she's taken at this point are trying to get it right. Like there's a guy at a club who's like directly trying to pick her up. That hidden cameras in the club, dude. They had like cameras and backpacks that were just like the lens would be sticking out and they would be filming people. So they didn't even know. They didn't even know that.
What about the part where the group of girls grabbed her? Was that like a thing? Remember where she's going into the club right before the club?
My understanding is all of this stuff was
pretty much improv.
Yeah. So she lures him back and you can tell she's starting to feel just out of sorts at this point. It's not the cold, calculated thing that she's normally doing. Mm-hmm. And she leads him in and then she goes out and she's staring at the mirror. And they had this thing where they showed a fly earlier in the movie and she's watching it.
I was wondering what that was.
I think it's like a spider catching a fly. Like the fly is just around. You can just like capture it. Right. Mm-hmm. But now she's like looking at the fly. She's looking at the mirror. She's really like contemplating what she looks like.
Right.
And like really taking in what's going on there. And then she walks out and the guy comes out naked and he like runs off in a field.
Which that was crazy in itself because I was like, did the guy just leave? And I think that's, we are starting to see, you're hearing more dialogue. There was a point even where she might have said it to the rapey guy, but like she says, thank you. Like you can tell there's some kind of sympathy or like, you know, empathy. I mean,
there was something I missed earlier. She's in the van and that guy comes up and says, this guy bought you a rose.
Yes.
And she takes the rose, but it has blood all over it.
Right.
And she's kind of looking at the blood and notes it. And then she looks over and this guy's, he's got his hand bandaged and it's like bleeding. And so the blood was from him. And I think she starts to contemplate that you're like hunting and like, you don't really think, you're just killing for the meat, or maybe you're eating and you don't think about,
where it was processed from. And that, I do see that because once he wraps his hand, that's when it really hits, because I think she's starting to be like, I'm hurting these people, these guys that I'm doing things with or whatever. I think she's starting to realize like,
this isn't right.
Yeah.
So the motorcyclist picks up the disfigured man, throws him in a trunk of a car. Like he steals a car, punches out the window, like throws him in the trunk and then drives off with it. And so this guy is like the cleanup, right? So he's probably like, no, we can't have this. Mm-hmm. We can't have this happening, you know? And so he meets up with these other motorcyclists. So you can assume it's all these aliens that are like trying to like find her. They will not find her. They only show up at the very end after the movie's over, but they never find her.
No, like, they never find her. Well, and that was my other thing is
find her in time, I should say.
Yeah, because I do understand like it's the man point of view, but or the point of view of like, you said earlier, I cannot think of it right now.
Patriarchy?
No, you were saying how these guys, like she's the only female and there's these guys. There's that. And I kept thinking she was like a queen. Like she was supposed to be like, she's the head in charge.
But I think we see the way that dude's like dressing her down wordlessly. Right. And the way that they're chasing after her and they like grab that guy. I think they're the ones in charge. So that's where I'm seeing like patriarchy vibes.
Exactly. And like, that's when you start to realize like, well, maybe these guys are in charge, you know, starting to, cause they're looking for her. So clearly she's doing something. They either have been through this before, which that can mean a lot of things, you know what I mean? Like change. And she's obviously changing into a way that it's like, all right, dude.
Like she's human, but she's not human.
Exactly.
Right? And then she takes her van, she abandons it out in the mists, and then just starts walking
walking. That scene, that's what I was going to say. That scene was really cool when she starts walking, because that's where I saw the artistic side as well, because her walk, it didn't look like it was off of a camera. It looked far distant and it looked like they painted it. Looked like she was a painted
woman. Yeah, it's like there's this part where she's walking down this road and it's like really beautiful. There's this mist hanging up and you have the highlands in the background and she's walking to this bus station. It's all like in the lower fourth of the camera and you can just see like this incredible landscape. And I think they're kind of showing like how big the world is and how she hasn't noticed it and how she's so tiny in this big world, doesn't understand anything in this world.
Yeah.
She goes to a diner. She sees this chocolate cake, which they make that chocolate cake look great.
Dude, that looked awesome. And then she fucking spits it out. And I was like, well, sacrilege. I was
like, but she like choked on it, right? So if you think about the thing at the end, I don't think she's capable of eating that.
I don't think she's, because I think all in all, I think she's just being used to process men, you know? I don't even think, and the so question
she,
is,
she gets to take no pleasure in the thing that everybody else takes pleasures in, right?
But what is she, so is she essentially eating them or is that like, is...
I think they're processing them for me. So this comes from a book and he wanted to like have the rights to the book and tell the general story of the book, but he did not want to tell the literal story of the book. And so what the book is this alien gets turned into a human and is really upset about it. And she's luring men to their death, but then she sees the process by which they are turned into meat and fed to the elite on her planet. And she becomes horrified by it. And then gets in touch with her humanity, but it plays out very differently from what I read in the synopsis of the book.
I was wondering because it was just, it just, this movie gave, well, that's what it gave off where I was like, is she eating them? And then you see the processing, you know, and so.
So I think that they have these little clues as to what's going on, but I don't think it's important to the movie. So they don't spend time on it because they want you to think about the message and they want it to be surreal and a little removed. So
that makes sense.
You think about it in a different way. She gets on a bus station and there's one guy in the bus station and he sees her and he's like asking her if she needs help. And she says, yes. And the bus driver's trying to protect her, but takes her back to his house. And you're like, what's going to happen?
Now we've
flipped it because it's like there is like threat to her, whereas like the threat was the other way around. Right. But like he just sets her up in a room. He puts a space heater out there. He cooks her a meal. They go for a hike at a castle. She's really afraid to go down the steps.
Still not a lot of dialogue with them either. There's not, they are not saying anything. So really you just start to see this little love story start to happen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then they finally go to make love and then he can't get in. She goes horrified and looks in a mirror. And I think what they're saying there is like, she's not equipped to be able to do that. I think that that is talking about forced sterilization of women. Like, I think that they're showing that because like, she's not capable of doing this.
Right.
Like, the patriarchy of these aliens have like taken that away from her. They won't give her that. So she's not allowed to actually like partake in that. And she's horrified. So now like she's full on human at this point. And she has not said a word after she says yes. Like when he asks if she needs help, she doesn't say a word for the rest of the movie. She goes for a hike. She sees this guy in this yellow vest who's like telling her about all these trails,
which that was weird too, because automatically and where I start to see certain things where I know something's gonna happen, like him saying the way he was looking at her, the questions, and then he does like the pulls his coat back, kind of sticking his groin out in a way, where in most movies he's peacocking I've seen
a little bit.
Much so. And I never knew that was called he's peacocking and you see that in a lot of movies where you're like, you know, this dude's being nasty and we all know it, but maybe we're wrong. And so that's when I start to realize like, okay, what's going on. And so when he stopped her though and he starts doing the body language, that's where it was weird. And for her, she still isn't knowing, you know, she doesn't know the world like this.
Yeah.
And she just left this guy. I thought she killed him, but I don't know.
Well, she did not, because he comes down later. She finds a shack that they can sleep in. It says hikers welcome to take shelter. So she goes to sleep and he shows up and starts rubbing her leg. It's the same guy because he's got the yellow
not
vest.
Him. What happened to the bus stop guy? Remember they tried
the bus stop guy. Yeah. They just leave it after she realizes she's not equipped. We don't see him again.
Yeah. Okay. I was wondering.
So that guy meets her down in the fort and goes to like grope her and she runs off terrified and she hides. And then she finally waits a beat and then she goes running. And then the guy like sees her and then basically gets her down on the ground. And once again, like trigger warning, if you have a thing for sexual assault, you should really tune out. So then he assaults her and then is like horrified because he like part of her skin comes off and it's all black.
Oh yeah.
And then she takes off her head and you see that she still has these slight features of Scarlett Johansson, mm-hmm. right? But it's like this completely black image. It's so weird, like seeing her skin suit and then like that blackness out of it is just like craziness.
Tar baby.
I mean,
that's what she was looking like. Like it just looked, she looked like she was covered in something. And so I kept wondering, I'm like, oh, that's, well, and did you notice the eyes kept moving off when she takes the,
yeah, the face is like expressive.
Yeah. So I didn't know if that was supposed to be her being still alive, you know, in a way.
It's
or...
like somehow the skin suit is organic and like she stole something from this lady. Like,
like she didn't necessarily, like she took basically body snatched all of her. Like it seems like she even took her soul. Like there's, it's giving Get Out a little bit. Like she kind of, like it felt like the, when the eyes and stuff were moving and we're looking at her, it really felt like that person was still in there. You know what I mean?
And so this guy like apparently ran off to his truck and got gasoline and lights her on fire. So she's like running off on fire and then she burns to death. So like you're fully feeling for her at this point.
Yeah.
And like you see the molecules of her like ashes and stuff like going up into the sky. And then we see the motorcyclist is kind of watching that because like the patriarchy has kind of won, I think. Like they've taken down somebody else who is going against them. They had a job as far as they were concerned.
Yeah. I wonder if they were going to kill her.
I think so.
I think they were, so just either way,
they're going to kill her and trap her or do something terrible to her. But I am curious. Do you feel any different about the movie after discussing it?
I do. I'll have to reprocess this again, mostly because I had a whole thing for like the meat processing part, all of that. I do need to go back and really look at this movie again, because again, I've tried. But it was decent, you know?
I was a little dismissive of this movie when I first saw it. I saw like half of it and gave up on it. And I was just like, this is just weird for weird's sake. And then Aaron Donaldson covered it for an Alien Movie Project and I was editing his podcast and I realized like, wow, there's these really deep themes in it. And so I gave it a second watch and then could really see the stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think this is a movie that's worth watching. I don't think it's for everybody. And I do think that you have to have an open mind.
Agreed.
And may have to watch it more than once, but I do think it's worth it. Like I think
it's worth it.
And there are visuals in this movie that you will never forget. Like, no. I don't think once you see those guys going into the liquid darkness that you're ever going to forget that.
Yeah. The popping of them getting processed. You won't forget that.
Yeah. And you're not going to forget the end scene. You're just not
going to forget that.
It's haunting.
I honestly, the other thing before we get off here was the baby scene and the family dying. That part is so traumatizing. The
crying baby,
it's just, it was in the way the scene went with that and how the parents were and how they, I mean, this was crazy, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and they had a news report later on the radio where you find out, like, they're looking for the whole family, which means they didn't find the baby, so you know the baby's not going to be okay either.
Because they didn't find the wife. And the other thing, well, and I noticed throughout the movie when they were doing that scene, the tide was rising.
Yeah.
And then the little boy's trying to run. And I'm thinking, like, this kid isn't going to make it.
No, he's not going to make it.
In our mind, once that scene is over and we see the tide rising, we're to know that the kid passed away. I kept wondering if she was going back to humanity after she heard the radio, but how is she to know, too? You know what I mean? I think that was more for us audience.
I think the radio might have been the first thing that maybe said, because we're inferring things, right? And I think that might have been a point where she thought about it. I think the rose, she started to think about that. And then I think the guy with the tumors made her really, really reconsider it and then come out. And then I think when she looked in the mirror and was like considering what she was, I think she went and got the guy out. And that's when she just fully embraces humanity and goes to find out about it. So interesting film.
It was enjoyable. Oh, New York, number one, region nine. Wake up, pop culture. I'm dying on the job. And I kinda like to be the one to tell you. Girl, you're being not too deep. Oh, yeah.
A Cosmic Void was created by Alex Small and Jeremiah Perez. It's hosted by Alex Small and Xavier Cousins. Produced by Aaron Donaldson and Alex Small. The theme song Duke of New York A Number 1 was written by Dub Campbell and Greg Vibrette. The song is performed by Tonight We Ride. A Cosmic Void is a Redwood Sound Labs production.
Okay, kiddo, I lost my library of sound, so I need you to do some sound effects for me.
I don't want to do this, Dad.
Look, I'm just trying to put food on the table, but if you don't want to help...
All right.
Hear Biggs chronicle a galaxy of genre. Listen to the deconstruction of film on A Cosmic Void. Charles is a Purple Heart recipient and cinematographer. Aaron is a professor and critical cultural scholar. Together, they explore the narrative, effective, and production politics of war cinema on Real War Project. That's R-E-E-L, War Project. Finally, a podcast that's dedicated to talking about your favorite sports movies. Whether you want to hear a breakdown of the plot, arguments about who's the MVP of the film, or crit and lit about it, you'll find it all on Fields of Glory. Listen to the show that will help you have a better life with your beloved pets. It handles topics like proper food, nutrition, positive reinforcement training, and more. Certified dog behavior consultant Charlotte Peltz welcomes your pet concerns and questions in the podcast, Living with Your Dog. Zach and Matt are two horror enthusiasts of varying experience discussing horror movies through the scope of content, context, and comedy. They'll hit on the good ones and the classics, but they're really excited for the bad ones. Listen to Watch No Evil. You can find all of Redwood Sound Lab shows at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts.